The Veterans Affairs Department is on the street with a new procurement to replace its aging patient scheduling system. The department has used the current system since 1986. It's the one scheduling staff use to manipulate data on patient waiting times in Phoenix and several other locations across the country. Federal News Radio's Jared Serbu writes about this RFP and more in this week's edition of Inside the Reporter's Notebook.
The Department of Veterans Affairs has released its request for proposals, which we had been expecting, for a new medical appointment scheduling system, something that's obviously become relevant given everything that's been happening in Phoenix and elsewhere around the country with the department's difficulties with people making misrepresentations about waiting lists, et cetera. So this system, which is getting very, very long in the tooth, is certainly part of the story, I think. It's been in place more or less unchanged within VA since 1985. And one thing I didn't realize about it, this is how antiquated this system is. When medical schedulers, when VA's own staff are going in and trying to find an appointment for a veteran and make an appointment, they don't actually see a calendar on their screen, nothing like it. It's just plain old school ASCII text fields across multiple screens that they've got to manually sort through and hopefully get the data input correctly into the right field. So very, very old system. The approach that the department is using is they're going to issue an indefinite delivery, indefinite quantity type contract to a single vendor over a period of at least 5 years plus two option years. So this thing could run up to 7 years. And the total ceiling value is $690 million, which seems like a high number. But VA, there's really two parts to this. What VA wants to do is buy an existing commercial off-the-shelf scheduling system that exists out there in the health IT market already and is being used by private sector hospitals. So that's relatively easy from that perspective. The trick is going to be a lot of development that's going to have to happen to integrate that COTS system with Vista, and that's probably where most of the cost is going to come in. The existing scheduling system is already pretty poorly integrated with Vista, but nonetheless, it depends on a lot of interfaces between the scheduling system and the main electronic health record system, Vista. 71 of Vista's own applications depend on the scheduling system, and 31 of the scheduling system's packages, in turn, depend on Vista. So when you add everything together, VA says there's 1,000 separate data interfaces that are going to have to be maintained in the new system. At the same time, the new vendor is going to have to build according to open standards and with according to VA's open architecture. So this thing is eventually going to converge into the modernized Vista, modernized version of Vista is the idea. But in the meantime, it also needs to work with what they've got.
I would say the technical term for all those interfaces is hairball. And I guess, are they going to try to get a systems integrator to do all of this? Or do they expect the vendor of the scheduling system that they buy that's commercial to do all of that?
It looks like it's going to be a single vendor. So one IDIQ is going to go to this vendor. Then they're going to issue task orders over the next 5 years. The first two-year phase of that is, VA says they're on an aggressive schedule for that. What they're calling core capabilities for the scheduling system needs to be in place within the next 2 years across all of the VA's clinics, hospitals and outpatient clinics in the U.S., and Philippines. They have one in the Philippines as well. So that's what's going to happen over the next 2 years. They will do it task order by task order, location by location to get those core capabilities up and running. The remainder of them will need to happen during the course of the contract, ideally within 5 years. But again, they've got another two option years that they can add on if it ends up taking longer than that.
All right. So we'll see how that develops over 5 years. In meantime, you are also writing about some new DOD updates to protect service members from retailers and credit cards that can be a little shady. That seems to be a recurring problem for DOD.
It is a recurring problem, and they hope that this is going to help nip it in the bud. These are regulations, or the announcement of the regulations anyway, came out late on Friday. They're going to amend the financial management regulation to prevent service members from using what are called military allotments to buy several different classes of goods, of products, basically. Military allotments are basically just automatic deductions from your paycheck over a recurring period. But they've become a problem in that a certain class of pretty shady retailers have figured out that all they really need to do is get the Defense Department forms in their little mall kiosks or at their check cashing outlets, and they can get service members to make payments for virtually anything through this allotment system. And there are certain vendors that will basically only allow service members to pay using this allotment system, whether they can afford it or not, because it's a guaranteed payment method. I mean, the borrower is not going to default on the payments because they're coming directly from the paycheck. So as long as that military member remains in the military, the payments are going to keep coming to the vendor, whether they can afford it or not. So what the new DoD regulation is going to do is it's going to prohibit service members from signing up for new allotments on several different things. One is vehicles, also appliances or household goods, washers, dryers, furniture, electronics like laptops and tablets and cell phones, and the final catch-all term is other consumer items that are tangible and movable. So the allotment system will stay in place for certain other things. You can still have these automatic withdrawals taken out to move money into a savings account, to make recurring payments to family members, to pay your mortgage, to pay your rent, but not for this other class of purchases of merchandise that the department really thinks has turned into a system of abuse. And I think one reason they think this is not going to be really a hardship to service members is this allotment system really dates back before the days when normal people like you and I and everybody else in the world, in the military and outside the military, could do, you know, automatic withdrawals from a checking account, several other different kinds of more convenient payment methods. So I don't think they believe that they're going to create a burden with us.
Jared Serbu is Federal News Radio's DoD reporter. And the problem, I guess, has been that some of these retailers have made it mostly an interest charging game so that they quadruple the price of ordinary items because of the payments go on and on and on.
That's right. The most famous case of this probably is a company called Rome Finance, which various attorneys general and federal prosecutors kept going after over and over again, but they always seem to come back from the dead with a different name and a different location. And what they did is, basically what you alluded to. They only sold to service members in these mall kiosks located near military bases. You basically were not allowed to pay the retail price. There was no sticker price on, for example, an iPad. You had to pay over time with military allotments. You know, these salespeople made it seem to the service members like it was a good deal to do it that way, but they didn't disclose the actual finance charges. So in the end, that $500 iPad ended up costing you, whatever, $2,500 over time.
And I also wanted to ask you about what seems to be the melting away of the BlackBerry continuing now in the Marine Corps.
Yeah, and it's not even the BlackBerry per se. It's really all mobile devices. What we heard from Rob Anderson, who's the chief for vision and strategy in the Marine Corps CIO's office last week, is there's going to be a very significant reduction in the operating and maintenance budget at Headquarters Marine Corps that pays for a lot of the mobile devices, basically the service plans for Marines across the entire Marine Corps. He didn't give us exact numbers, but he told us in 2014 that O&M budget for mobile devices had seven figures in it. As of 2015, it's going to have five figures in it. So a significant drop, even if we don't know the exact numbers. He says it's very clear that some of the existing government-furnished mobile devices that Marine Corps members have right now are just going to have to get taken away. So that adds a lot of impetus from the Marine Corps' perspective to push ahead with something they've already been trying to do, which is a bring-your-own-device plan. We have heard from the Marine Corps in the past that they're spending about $480 per Marine per year to give them a government-furnished and government-paid-for mobile device. They think that if they can just install a secure container that meets the standards of DoD zone, you know, security regulators and NIST, et cetera, they can do that and just pay for the container while the service member is paying for, you know, the wireless plan that they're already paying for about $40 per year. So that would obviously allow them to outfit more people with, you know, technology that would let them access Marine Corps systems when they're not directly in front of a Marine Corps computer for a much lower price. And, you know, obviously this is one of those things where it's hard to know exactly where the chicken, you know, which is the chicken and which is the egg. Did the budget get cut because the Marine Corps sees this BYOD thing around the corner, or does the fact of the budget cuts add some extra motivation to go faster with a BYOD plan?